Life is an adventure. Adventure requires risk. Sometimes the wrong risk can cause you to lose it all. And sometimes that risk pays out in rewards that you can't even imagine. How do we know what risk is worth taking? And how do we know when to risk it all and when to walk away?
God don't never change. God always will be God.
Hello, I am in the Allegheny National Forest, and I'm going to take you on an adventure of risk. Welcome everybody to Open Arms Community Church. I'm glad that you're joining us here today. I'm Pastor Mike, not Bear Grylls, and I apologize for that very bad version of a Bear Grylls introduction to Man vs. Wild. We're starting a new series called Risk. And, you know, as you can see in your outlines, life is full of risk. And it doesn't matter what aspect of life you're thinking about. It might be in relationships. It might be in your choice of college or career. It could be in the arena of your vocation, your workplace, or hobbies, or just your daily routines in life. Risk is a part of the world in which we live. Unfortunately, when we talk about risk, the reality is that risk infers, notice in your outlines, that risk infers potential gain or loss. Okay, when we say the word risk, it means that there's something that we can win or gain, and there's something that we could potentially lose, potential injury. And this risk, or the inference of loss, is something that causes a lot of people to be plagued and even paralyzed with fear. And of course, it also infers discomfort. And so nobody wants to do something hard and that is going to make them uncomfortable. So risk, a lot of times, is an aversion to action. And so with that in mind, the fact is there's no way you can live life, and there's no way you can engage life, especially in living out the plans and purposes that God has for you, without engaging in risk. I don't really know where it came from, but for some reason, people got the idea that, well, if I become a follower of Jesus, then risks will be put at bay. I will be able to live a life that is just encapsulated in safety and comfort and ease. And the truth is, nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus never says that you're going to float through life on flowery beds of ease. And in fact, what he does say is that in this world, you will have tribulation. What he does say is that anyone who follows his example and lives like him is going to be treated by the world the way he was treated. A student is not above the teacher, he said. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. And the Apostle Paul even said that, I tell you the truth, anyone who wants to live a godly life will be persecuted. So there is no safety, if you will, from risk. But what does happen with risk is it's kind of like riding a bike. Anybody who has learned to ride a bike knows that the very first time you got on that machine, there was a lot of discomfort and fear because you're so concerned about wrecking. And the fact is most of us do wreck. And that's a part of learning. But we talked about that last week as we talked about the blessing of failure. But as you get out there and you take the risk of crashing and you take the risk of pain, you start to learn how to ride this bike to such a degree that all of a sudden, fear pretty much is gone. And as your competency in riding that bike becomes greater and greater, in many cases, the factor of risk or loss or injury goes down. So you become more comfortable in doing the bike riding, and you also are truly safer as you engage bike riding as well. But here's the thing. there's no escaping the fact that risk is a part of life. And what we're going to do through this series is look at four different kinds of risk. Because the truth is, not all risk is worth taking. We shouldn't risk certain things. So what we want to do is introduce you to an acrostic using the word risk to help you understand what the four kinds of risk are, which ones we should engage, and which ones we should avoid. So come with me now, and we're going to take a look at the first kind of risk. So like I said, there are four different kinds of risk that we're going to look at in this series. And we're going to use the word risk as an acrostic to help us remember the four different types. So to introduce you to the first type of risk, it's found in the letter R. And the letter R is the word reasonable. And in your outlines, reasonable risk is risk that is sensible, appropriate, sound in judgment. The risk is reasonable in the ratio between gain and loss. So when we talk about reasonable risk, we're talking about a risk that uses common sense, a risk that weighs out the gains and the losses and says, it's worth it. Because even if I lose this little bit, it's not as bad as going without taking the risk with the potential gain. So that's the first kind of risk that we're going to talk about today, reasonable risk. And to illustrate it, I want to tell you a story. And it's found in the book of Esther. So in the book of Esther, there's a story of a girl who was raised by her uncle named Mordecai. And Mordecai raised Esther to know the Lord and to fear God. And they were living under the Medo-Persian Empire's rule. And so King Xerxes got upset with his wife and sent her away and started looking for a new queen. So all the young ladies in the land were brought in to meet the king. And long story short is Esther caught the eye of the king and won the king's favor and became the queen. So Xerxes and Queen Esther had a good relationship, but it wasn't known that she was of Jewish descent. Now this plays a major part in the story because Uncle Mordecai began to grow in his influence in the kingdom as well. But there was another man who was aspiring to high rank in the Medo-Persian Empire, and his name was Haman. And Haman hated Mordecai. He hated Mordecai so much that he didn't just want to kill Mordecai. He wanted to kill the race that Mordecai belonged to. So Haman goes to the king. He won special favor with King Xerxes. And King Xerxes said, you know what? Today I want to do something special. What's on your heart to do? And so Haman says, listen, there's this group of people that are troublemakers. They don't obey our laws, and they don't worship our gods, and they're just constantly a thorn in our flesh, constantly causing trouble and a disgrace in our kingdom. And so what I'd like to do is you give the order, and I'll go kill them all, and we'll just do away with them, and we'll have no more problems with them. So the king said, sounds good to me. I'll pass the law. And in the Medo-Persian Empire, once a king made a law, a decree, there was no undoing it. So King Xerxes gives the decree. And word goes out that on a specific day, there will be that all of the Medo-Persians are supposed to turn on those who are Jewish and that they are to kill them. Well, Mordecai finds out about this. And so Mordecai goes into fasting and prayer and mourning, and he tears his robes and makes a scene. And so Queen Esther finds out that her uncle is in distress, and she sends her servants to find out why. And Mordecai tells her about Haman's plan and that he is going to kill the Jews. And Mordecai says to the queen, he says, listen, Don't think that just because you're the queen, somehow you will escape this same fate. No, it's going to come to all the Jews. And he says, you got to do something. And who knows, maybe it was for this very purpose that God brought you into this position of being queen, for such a time as this. So, here's what Queen Esther does. She replies back to him and says, listen, in fact, I want you to look at the scripture in your outline. In Esther chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day, and I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Queen Esther is told by her uncle, you need to approach the king. And we see what her reply is. Here's the catch. In this kingdom, to go to the king without being requested for by the king meant that it was the death penalty. So if you enter the king's presence when he didn't ask for you, then you are going to be put to death unless the king showed you mercy and moved his scepter toward you. And if he did that, you could reach out, touch the scepter, and then you were forgiven and you were allowed to approach the king and talk to him. So Queen Esther is telling Mordecai, listen, it's against the law for me to go and talk to him, but I've weighed out the gains and the losses here. Notice she said, if I go to the king and I die, then I die. Because the fact is, if she doesn't go to the king, she and all her Jewish relatives are going to die anyway. So when you weigh the ratio between gains and losses, it's a reasonable risk. Either way, you have the potential of death. One is certain, the other, you might buy you and your people's freedom. So instead of being paralyzed by fear of death, notice that Esther took a reasonable risk. She went to King Xerxes. He did extend the scepter to show her mercy and favor, and she was able to then save her people. And if you want to know the rest of that story, go read the book of Esther. But in the meantime, as we get ready to wrap up here today, I just want you to understand, there is a healthy fear, but unhealthy fear will rob us. And, you know, it's healthy fear to not want to die and to not want to engage in behavior that's going to bring death. And so it's totally reasonable for Esther or you to feel a bit intimidated or uncomfortable or even a little afraid or nervous to engage in behaviors that put your life at risk. But here's what I want you to understand. Not all fear is healthy. In fact, much of it paralyzes us in life and we become unable to engage in life because we're afraid of the risks that are involved. And so I hope in this series that you're going to be freed up from that fear. And I hope that you're going to see that this first type of risk is a risk that we engage in every day anyway, where we weigh the gains and the losses, the pros and the cons, and we say this is reasonable, this is appropriate, this is a risk that common sense would tell us we need to take. Let's take a moment to pray. Father God, I just pray right now that you will be with each one of us in this place. And I pray, Father, that you will lead us and guide us by that spirit of truth, by wisdom, and by good common sense, that we will be able to weigh that ratio between what is the gain and what is the loss in any decision we're going to be making. And Father, I just pray that you will help us to be set free from fear and be able to step out into that place of life to the full that can come only as we are willing to let go of the safety and the comfort of what we know and be stepping into the unknown. Lord, we know that Some risks are much larger than others, but as we take these risks, we pray that first and foremost, we would operate by good common sense and take those risks that are reasonable. And I just pray that out of this, we will become a people that are freed up to live life to the full and be of value to your kingdom work in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, and God bless you.